Okay, for those of you listening on the radio, welcome, by the way. But we're in Bible Readings for the Home, 1914 edition, section 6, The Sure Word of Prophecy, chapter 59, which is entitled Satan's Warfare Against the Church. I'll take the first one. I think we got 14, right, that many this week. All right, number one, under what figure was the Christian church represented to the Apostle John? Revelation 12, verse 1 says, and there appeared a great wonder, or sign, in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. You know, the Catholic Church likes to say that's Mary, and they like to, when I was Catholic, we had these statues that you could buy. They still sell them to this day, where you get Mary with the blue clothing on, like some of Maramis, but she's is bright blue, and she's always standing on the moon, and a lot of times she'll be standing with the serpent wrapped around her feet. Right, but there's a note here. It says, frequently in the scriptures, a woman is used to represent the church. And as we all know, you got Jeremiah 6:2, but he also mentions Corinthians 11, verse 2. The sun represents the light of the gospel, with which the church was clothed at the first advent, it says in 1 John 2:8. The moon under her feet, the warning light for a former dispensation, and the 12 stars are, of course, the 12 apostles. When a woman in her innocence was attacked by the old serpent called the devil and Satan, at the end of that first crafty assault and speedy victory, the dragon met with his rebuff in words like these: the seed of the woman shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And before you stand again, the woman and the serpent in the same position of antagonism as before, the serpent still the assailant, only this time more openly so. The woman is no longer a simple childlike personage, but a wonder. She walks not among the trees and flowers, but amid the orbs of heaven. She is clothed with the sun, the moon is under her feet, and upon her head is a coronet of 12 stars. In her you see the great cause of truth and righteousness embodied. She is, in fact, the church of God in all ages, the woman whose seed blesses all the nations of the earth. And this note was taken from C.S. Spurgeon in the Tabernacle Pulpit, March 15, 1886. Before I became a Sabbath keeper, this was my favorite preacher, Spurgeon. Used to love reading his stuff. And then after I became a Sabbath keeper, I remember one quote that he says. He actually slammed I don't know if he'd call it slamming, but he says, I am not a Sabbath preacher, is what he said, which wasn't his calling. It wasn't his to preach that, I guess. But he had an insight to the scriptures. He was Baptist, and, you know, he had a little bit more insight than most. He was a big guy with a beard and all that. But anybody that wants number two, it's all yours.
I think you and I are the only ones with mics tonight. Nick. Number two, how is the church at the first advent described? And she being with child cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. Verse 2. The note says, the church is in labor and pain while she brings forth Christ and her children in the midst of afflictions and persecutions. See Romans 8, verse 19 and 22, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, and 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 12.
Okay, I won't be stepping away then, I guess. It's just you and me. Number three, how are the birth, work, and ascension of Christ briefly described? Verse 5 says, of course, coming from Revelation 12, it says, and she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And the note says, specifically this must refer to Christ, Psalm chapter 2, verses 7 and 9. But through him is also prefigured the experience of the people of God, who finally in the judgment are to share with Christ in ruling the nations with a rod of iron, Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27. And like him, when their work on earth is accomplished, be caught up at his appearing to God and to his throne, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17.
Number 4, what other sign or wonder appeared in heaven? This is verses 3 and 4, says, and there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having seven heads and ten horns, and seven crowns upon his head. And the tail drew the, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven, and did cast them to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born.
Who is the dragon? Who is this dragon said to be? Verse 9, of course, says, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. See, that's one of the easiest symbols to identify. That's why most of even the Protestant preachers, that, you know, the false prophets and teachers of that, of the world, they don't seem to have a problem with this one. But with some of the other symbols, they won't take the time to investigate the word, and yet they stand on pulpits. They won't take the time to figure out what those symbols mean, but yet they'll lead the people, and they'll lead them into the ditch, because they have no other recourse. Because how can you be ready if you don't understand prophecy? There's a note here. It says, primarily the dragon represents Satan, the great enemy and persecutor of the church in all ages, but Satan works through principalities and powers in his efforts to destroy the people of God. It was through a Roman king, King Herod, that he sought to destroy Christ as soon as he was born in Matthew chapter 2, verse 16. Rome must therefore be symbolized by the dragon. The seven heads of the dragon are interpreted by some to refer to the seven hills. Well, that's what the Bible says, upon which the city of Rome is built. By others, to the seven forms of government through which Rome passed, and by still others, and more broadly, to the seven great monarchies which oppressed the people of God: Egypt, Assyria, Chaldea, Persia, Greece, pagan Rome, and papal Rome. Now, I can understand the theology of going, okay, fine, it's on seven hills, but hills are also represented, or mountains, rather, also can be translated as kingdoms. But usually, when you're already speaking of beasts, you know, the beasts are going to be used in that parallel. But, hey, I could be wrong. I'm just a man like anybody else. So, anyway, going on, it says, in either of which Rome is represented and included, see chapter 60. The ten horns, as in the fourth beast of Daniel 7, evidently refer to the ten kingdoms into which Rome was finally divided, and thus again identify the dragon with the Roman power. And the beast is usually the global kingdom, and then, of course, the horns represent those that are kingdoms that are part of the global kingdom. And that's why I said with the hills, sometimes the hills or the mountains can represent smaller, like, I wouldn't say sovereign states, but kind of like, well, kind of way Herod, well, no, wait, no, Herod was kind of like set up like they're about to do today, where the president of the United States would become like a Herod, like a King Herod, when that one world government starts and the planet is separated into 10 separate kingdoms, which they've already done. It's just a matter of letting the people know.
We're on a need-to-know basis, and I guess we don't need to know, right? Number six, how is the conflict between Christ and Satan described? This is verses 7 through 9, which says, and there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And the note says, this conflict, begun in heaven, continues on earth. Near the close of Christ's ministry, he said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Luke 10, verse 18. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. John 12, 31. From the councils of the representatives of the various worlds to which Satan, as the prince of this world, was formerly admitted. Job chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, and chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. He was cast out when he crucified Christ, the Son of God.
It's amazing how much he gave up. You know, how much Satan, I mean, he messed up. That's, of course, a massive universal understatement, but still, he messed up. Number seven, what shout of triumph was heard in in heaven following the victory gained by Christ. And then verses 10 to 12 says, "And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them."
Number 8. Why was woe at this same time proclaimed to the world? This is verse 12, last part. "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time." The note says, this not only shows that since the crucifixion of Christ, Satan knows that his doom is sealed and that he has but a limited time in which to work, but that his efforts are largely, if not wholly, now confined to this world and concentrated upon its inhabitants. Better than many professed Christians, Satan knows that time is short.
You know, that's amazing when you think about it. We would consider 2,000 years to be a massively long period of time, you know, judged by human standards. But when you're an angel, fallen or not, 2,000 years is a speck, not even, when it comes to eternity. And that's why he really gathered the minions that he had under his control, you know, to get his last work done, I guess. Okay, number 9. What did the dragon do when cast to the earth? And it says in verse 13, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast onto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." And the note says, the persecution of Christians began under pagan Rome, but was carried on far more extensively under papal Rome, Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. Yeah, and amazingly so.
Number 10, what definite period of time was allotted? Sorry, a little computer glitch. Number 10, what definite period of time was allotted to this great persecution of God's people under papal Rome? Verse 14 says, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness unto her place where she is nourished for a time and times, and half a time from the face of the serpent. Note, this is the same period as that mentioned in Daniel 7:25, and like the ten horns, identifies the dragon with the fourth beast of Daniel 7, and its later work with the work of the little horn of that same beast. In Revelation 13:5, this period is referred to as 42 months. And in Revelation 12:6, as 1,260 days, each representing 1,260 literal years, the period allotted to the supremacy of papal Rome. Beginning in 538 AD, it ended in 1798, when the Pope was taken prisoner by the French. The woman fleeing into the wilderness fittingly describes the condition of the church during those times of bitter persecution.
Amen to that. 500 million killed that we can count. You can't count the Vandals, the Heruli, and the Ostrogoths that were wiped out, but odds are many of them weren't Christian anyway, but or may have been. You know, there's really no record of these people other than they didn't really agree with what the Pope wanted to set up, you know, that religio-political power. Item 11, what was Satan's design in thus persecuting the church? Verse 15 says, "And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood." And you can still see that to this day with people manipulating other people, because we know what water means in Scripture, in the prophecies. And you've got nothing but peer pressure, you know, it's all sorts of, it's always those closest to you, too, that have a tendency to try to manipulate the children of God.
Well, I'll read the note then on number 12. The mountain fast... Do you want to go, Nick?
Hey, you got all those notes and I wanted one and I forgot to read it. Was that me? Swallowed up the, oh no, I read 11. You got to do 12. Yeah. That's right. I've been noticing the last few questions, there was no notes for me to read and they were all for you. So yeah, you get, do 12 and you got to do the, I didn't do that verse. I just did 11.
Really? Okay. Sorry. Number 12. I thought you read that. How was the flood stayed and Satan's design defeated? Verse 16. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Okay. And we have the note. I just need to move my screen here. Okay, note, the mountain fastnesses, quiet retreats, and secluded valleys of southwestern Europe for centuries shielded many who refused allegiance to the papacy. Here, too, may be seen the results of the work of the Reformation of the 16th century, when many of the governments of Rome, of Europe, came to the help of the cause of reform by staying the hand of persecution and protecting the lives of those who dared to take their stand for the right. The discovery of America and the opening up of this country as an asylum for the oppressed of Europe at that time may also be included in the help here referred to.
Yeah, amen, because in the beginning, this nation was, started off as a Christian nation, and the people went here fleeing papal persecution. But if you look at the history books today, it's all taxation. Even though the taxation today is like 100 times worse than the taxation was back then, so they can't even use that as an excuse. Just common sense affords the person reading the reality that they're lying. All right, 13. What did Christ say would be the result if the days of persecution were not shortened? Matthew 24:22 says, except those days be shortened, or should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. And thank you, Jesus, for that.
Okay, there I am. Number 14. Still bent on persecution, how does Satan manifest his enmity against the remnant church? This is Revelation 12:17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Note, to the very end, Satan will persecute and seek to destroy the people of God. Against the remnant, or last portion of the church, he is especially to make war. Their obedience to God's commandments and their possession of the testimony of Jesus, or spirit of prophecy, Revelation 19:10, are especially offensive to him and excite his intense ire. And there's a poem at the bottom here by Charles Wesley. It says, soldiers of Christ, arise and put your armor on. Fight for the battle will be ours. We fight to win a crown. We fight not against flesh. We wrestle not with blood, but principalities and powers, and for the truth of God. Maestro, I saw in the text chat you had a question, but I couldn't read it because I was reading. So I wondered what it was and if it got answered.
Good question, Maestro. The only thing I can come up with is what Isaiah, I believe it was, that said, sin will not rear its ugly head a second time. If men understood the prophecies, the wicked would then be able to be ready, and to some extent, and sin to their hearts. This is my little puny brain coming up with my reasoning as to what I think, why it would be best to have it in parables and symbolic language, because the wicked would party hardy up until the last moment right before Jesus comes, and then, try to get everything right with God by then. But still, they're not going to gain heaven anyway. Another toss of the coin is, for the same reason that Jesus told some of the people that were healed not to go and speak of him, because they're not sufficiently well-versed in the scriptures, they may do more harm than good. And if the wicked understood the symbols of prophecy, they might be more effective in twisting them to cause even more souls to burn. And because they don't understand the symbols in prophecy, because they don't have any diligent study of it, what's going on in the news, even though they try to hide a lot of the things that are, you know, are going on, a lot of the things that are happening in the news, they don't realize as prophetic fulfillments. I mean, the things that are blunt, you know, like some of the stuff that, you know, they can't get around, they always try to hide it in the news. But they still can't, because they really don't understand the Bible, and stuff that happens on CNN that is so well guarded, it's just overwhelmingly obvious that they're pawns. They really don't have a clue. But I think, you know, the only thing that I could come up with is, if they really understood the prophetic symbolism, they would be more effective in twisting it. And so there would be more and more and more people that would be lost. Yeah, amen. Spiritual things are spiritually discerned. Let's see, a lot of Christians don't even know what time it is. I have something again. Yeah. I mean, look what's going on in Europe, for example. You know there's Christians out there. But what amazes me is how, and I've got, you know, I mean, you know, being an online ministry, I've got friends that are in a lot of those countries up there on the European continent. But yet I'm not inundated with a bunch of emails saying, you know, our government has women riding beasts on billboards out in front of the government agencies on our money. You know, it's why that doesn't upset them is a frightening thought. Are they not reading their Bibles? So, yeah, people are sleeping. And they're going to wake up pretty soon. And that's because of the latter rain falling and our job to go forth, which, of course, hastens the arrival of the Sunday laws to try to shut us up, because the message we proclaim empties their pews and, of course, their pocketbooks. And that's what they do it for. It's a career, not a calling. I got a tally-hoo. Anybody want to close in prayer, or I'll do it if no one else wants to. Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. And for those of you listening on the radio or later on this recording, the reason you didn't hear our beginning prayer because we didn't have the recorder on. So sometimes we usually have the recorder on when we end it in prayer. So if you can kneel, please do so. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for Scripture and for giving us eyes that see, ears that hear, and especially in the areas of the symbols. And thank you for hiding the truth in parables. Had you wrote it all down in just plain English, the enemy would have had a little bit better opportunity to manipulate your truth. Because some of them are pretty crafty. Some of them do have an understanding of some of the things. Not all of them, but some of the things that we know. And they do use it against your children. We pray for them, too, that their eyes are opened to realize how dangerous that is to their souls. We pray for a hedge of angels to be about us for the remainder of this week so that we can all come together again on Sabbath. Thank you again for answering our prayers, blessing all those on our prayer list, especially those that are sick and lost. And again, we lift up Lynn and her mother and grandmother so that your perfect will is upon that whole situation. Thank you so much for letting us speak to you. We can't walk into a mayor's office sometimes down here, let alone the president, but yet we can step right into the throne room of the Almighty. We thank you so much for loving us like a true father. In Jesus' name, we love you. Amen.